Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hey, Brian Kenny.
All right. It's the third episode of the Fantasy Boys. I am Ryan DiPerna, Old Hickory himself, O.L. Hickory.
Poop and pee. This is Brian Kenny.
And special guest tonight, we have Mike Paramore.
Hello, boys.
We're awaiting the arrival of... Bill Squire.
The soothing baritone of Mike Paramore.
Yeah, we had like 20 minutes of discussion about the fucking Cavs that we probably should have had.
We had a lot of discussion about sports that we should have just been recording the whole time.
Basically, the Cavs are fucked, guys.
Cavs aren't fucked. Cavs are fine.
That's pretty fucked.
I don't think Isaiah Thomas is going to be out that long, and I think Isaiah Thomas brings so much to the fucking Cavs.
I mean, he's just a poor man's Kyrie, really.
I don't think he's that far off as far as being... I wouldn't call him a poor man's. As far as NBA rankings of players last year, pretty much everybody had Isaiah Thomas over Kyrie Irving by far.
You said when? When was this?
Last year. If you like they'll rank like the ESPN will rank the top players in the NBA. Bleacher Report will rank the top 10 players.
And they have Isaiah Thomas over Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm. Kyrie was like number 24, 25.
I would have to see that list. I'd have to see that because I don't believe that. He just has his skill set. Kyrie's skill set is just so much higher. Isaiah's not a no. He's not trash. He's just not. He's not Kyrie Irving. There's no way.
He's about a half
Isaiah foot. Thomas, how did you feel about that, the rest of that Celtics team? Do you really think Al Horford adds that much?
No, Al Horford is a star player. Fucking garbage.
Isaiah Thomas is the type of player who's going to take that team, and a good coach, but he's going to take that team to the number one seed and then to the Eastern Conference Championship. You think Kyrie Irving, with that team, would have done that?
Well, you have to understand that that team was built around a scoring point guard, and I think that that team with Kyrie could have probably done that, yes. Kyrie just would have had to have been more aggressive, that's all, and I don't think Kyrie would have had a problem with that.
I don't think Kyrie has that in him. I think Kyrie has a tendency to go cold. I think he keeps shooting in mass volume, which you're supposed to do, but I think Kyrie is not the player that Isaiah Thomas is.
People underestimate that Celtics roster from last year. Like, it was built like the old Iverson 76ers. Like, it was Iverson who's produced points, and everybody else had a role. They had two premier defenders. They had a rebounding stretch 4-5. They played great defense, team defense. Isaiah was the only liability on defense. Like, that team was built for what they did. They were built to rotate around Isaiah Thomas. And I think if you plugged Kyrie in there, it would have been the same thing.
I really don't think so.
They also lost a bunch of key dudes from that. Like, Avery Bradley, they got rid of.
They don't have anybody from. I mean, Horford and Marcus Smart, maybe, I think, is all they have coming back. So they're going to be a completely different team, and they got rid of all their defenders. So
those two young kids they had, too, who were lottery picks. I can never remember their names.
Yeah. But I just don't. Yeah, the Celtics are going to be a completely different team this year, and I think.
What seed do they go into the playoffs as?
In the East, probably two or one, because Cavs don't care about regular season, so they could do one again.
They're going to go in as a 5 seed.
They'll be higher.
In the East?
Calling it right now. No. Kyrie's going to get hurt. Kyrie's not going to hold up the whole season.
Who's better? Who are the four teams better than the Celtics in the East?
Fucking fine, no. I don't know.
There are Cavs. there aren't any.
Milwaukee might be good.
Milwaukee might make a resurgence, but What do you think?
Kristaps Porzingis is about to take the Knicks to a 3 seed.
Toronto's going to be good.
Yeah, no, Toronto will probably be up there. Atlanta will probably be up there. No, Atlanta.
Atlanta lost kinda, everybody.
Yeah, Atlanta got rid of everybody.
Wasn't it Danny Ferry? Didn't he actually retire or like resign or something like that? Because he wrote in a report about Luol Deng that he has African qualities about him. Something like negative. It was something like he has negative African qualities. It's like, what are they going to do? Like trade something for.
Danny Ferry was a G. He kept it real. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. We need more of that.
Luol Deng. Does he even play basketball anymore? Is he with the Lakers still?
He's with, who's Luol Deng play for?
It was the Lakers.
Nah, I don't think it's the Lakers anymore.
Those were some good Chicago Bulls teams that never could make it past the Heat.
Because they have somebody that we have now.
He's always hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
Always hurt.
Yeah, the Cavs.
I'm not even.
Everybody has like optimism.
Derrick Rose, I don't give a fuck about Derrick Rose.
Everybody has optimism about the Cavs, and I really don't. The only person that I want to see how they do is Derrick Rose, because Derrick Rose has something to prove, and he's finally for the first time in his career on a championship team. So if he's going to do something, it's going to be this year. So I'm kind of excited to see what he's going to do. But other than that...
He's going to get hurt. That's exactly
the Cavs.
He's going to get hurt.
The Cavs have no bright spots. They're about to pick up...
Jose Calderon?
They're about to pick up Dwayne
LeBron Wade. James. Who's LeBron James?
So, and they're going to have to start Rose. Who's going to be the starting point guard?
Jay Felder.
And then what? And then they're going to destroy the chemistry by sitting J.R. Smith for old-ass Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, I found another plus, though. Perk, back in training camp. Might get that James Jones spot on the team. I love Kendrick Perkins.
I love that. There were so many times in the playoffs where I wanted Kendrick Perkins to just go pound some motherfucker.
Perkins,
get a goon. I love a good goon.
Kendrick Perkins looks like, you know, the comedy and tragedy masks.
Kendrick Perkins.
Those were some teams I fucking hated, man. Like the original Big Three Boston teams.
Oh, those motherfuckers.
They were so good, though. Yeah, they were so fun to watch. I like
Big Baby. Big Baby Davis.
You know, the Pistons used to be a fun team to play. Beating the Pistons in the playoffs felt so fucking good. Because I hated those motherfuckers. Yeah. Fuck Rasheed Wallace.
I love him,
but fuck him at the same time.
Sheed's troll game is like one of the best of all time.
He pissed me off so bad in all those series.
Chauncey Billups is one of my favorite players ever. I love Big Shot Bob. I mean, Chauncey.
Chauncey Billups was a good... That was a...
I love the name Chauncey Billups.
Chauncey! It reminds me of that Dr. Doolittle. Lord, no, Chauncey!
Yeah, no, they were amazing. I love watching them.
They lost one too, didn't they? The fuck is that?
And I just don't think that. I just don't. I have no optimism about the Cavs whatsoever, man. I don't see how people do. What's the bright spot on the Cavs? I don't see it.
It's LeBron James.
LeBron James, yeah.
He's the best basketball player in the world.
And he has extra.
I think he's the biggest, fastest. Strongest basketball player.
Fuck off. How many finals in a row? He keeps getting better. Somehow he developed a 3-point shot.
I'm not talking about his
first player ever to average a triple double in the finals.
I'm not talking about his accomplishments. I'm saying if you watch LeBron James play, he's not that good at basketball. Like,
When he drives, get out of here.
Okay, if you actually pay attention and not as a fanboy,
watch him destroy everybody.
Watch him drive to the basket. He has never passed anybody. It's always been him being stronger than the person in front of him. He knocks them over, drives them back. Like he's not. Like if he wasn't stronger than everybody else, he would suck.
But he is.
So, the activity that he's doing, and he's doing it super well. What is it? It's basketball. So I'd say he's pretty good at basketball.
I say
that's just his skill set. Why do you want
a man amongst boys?
You're judging him for not playing like he's smaller than you're doing. Like, why does he have to play like he's smaller when he's not
smart? That's like saying Yao Ming is the best center of all time.
But why?
Because he's big.
But he didn't dominate like LeBron dominated.
Yes, he did. Yao Ming dominated.
Like LeBron James dominated.
When Yao was healthy, nobody could stop him.
Did Yao go to all those finals in a row? Did Yao score all those points and get all those assists? And
he
all
scored
those,
a lot of points.
Was there, he didn't... A stat line like LeBron's stat line.
I'm not saying he isn't...
Triple double.
I'm not saying he isn't good, but you're just like nonsense. He's not. You're too biased. You don't understand.
I'm not too biased. He's goddamn it.
Have you watched him shoot and watched him drive to the back? Like LeBron James, other than when he passes, he's the most gifted passer I've ever seen. Over 6'6". He's amazing, but when it comes to scoring the ball,
now you
it's
are saying
strictly
better than
because
Magic Johnson by saying that.
LeBron has done some amazing things.
Then why are you knocking his basketball skills?
Because he's not that good at basketball. He's not.
Passing's a pretty big part of basketball.
It's vision.
Putting the ball in the hoop is a pretty big part of basketball. Yanking down
but he's not that
a pretty
good
big
at putting
part
the
of
ball
basketball.
In the hoop.
He's so good at all those things.
He's not that good at putting the ball in the hoop if he's not bigger and stronger than everybody in front of him.
But he is that. Why are you taking that away from him? But he is that.
But you can't say, oh, he's really good at basketball because he's bigger and stronger than everybody else.
You can say he's really good at basketball because he's putting up a lot better numbers and going to championships and doing super well at basketball.
Those are team accomplishments.
And that is him doing it.
So you're the type of person
that
would
say that LeBron James led those teams. You can't say that.
You're the type of person that thinks Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time.
I did not until recently.
Get the fuck out of here. Man, oh my God, that's the most infuriating sports opinion I've ever heard in my life, and I hear it from a lot of people, and it's fucking annoying.
But do you feel that same way about Jordan? Because it's the same thing.
No, Jordan. Well, you can't compare football and basketball because one person can have a life changing effect in basketball, and that's not the case for football. Tom Brady is the beneficiary of the best coach to ever live.
Bill Squier
to fill
in for him. Likeable Bill Squier is what I should call him. Or just Mike Paramore.
Tom Brady is the beneficiary of the best coach to ever live and the best organization to ever exist. Tom Brady, that organization can do exactly what they've been doing for the last 10 years with anybody at quarterback.
To a degree, I'm with you on that. To a degree. But, like, I mean, man, you watch the games. And
I mean, recording people's secret plays helps.
It's lady football. They're really good at cheating.
A whole bunch of nefarious shit happening along the way. But you watch the games. You watch those Super Bowls. And Tom Brady is the fucking guy.
Tom Brady is a good quarterback. He's not the best of all time. He's a good quarterback. He's Alex Smith.
That's a
bull. He's Alex Smith.
You're calling Tom Brady Alex? Oh my God.
Tom Brady and Alex Smith are the same
person. I'm sorry
for
bringing Mike on this podcast.
No, I don't disagree with Mike at all.
Listen.
Tom Brady is a very talented quarterback, but he is absolutely benefiting from the situation that he's been in for his entire career. Because when he started being, like when he became a starter, he wasn't a great quarterback. He was a game manager. Until basically
Randy Moss
showed up, and then he started throwing 40 touchdowns, and they changed the game a lot in these 15 years he's been a quarterback.
Three different times they've changed their game.
He did not.
But the rules of the game have changed so much to make quarterbacking easier in the NFL.
When Tom Brady first came into the league, he never threw the ball longer than 25 yards. He was a dink-and-dunk quarterback. They got Randy Moss. They started throwing it deep. They lost Randy Moss. They tried to replace Randy Moss with people like Brandon Lloyd and the other dude with the braids, but it never worked out. Then they went to a two-tight-end system. Like, that coaching staff is fucking genius. They built three different offenses in this league.
Well, yeah, because it helps when you're taping people's secret plays. That's really helpful, as it turns out.
Let's look at this one fact. One fact should tell you everything. When Tom Brady was out, they were 11-5. They won 11 football games, lost 5.
How many games did they win when he was suspended?
3 out of 4.
Yeah.
Now, when, just as contrast, the season that Peyton Manning wasn't playing for the Colts, he almost won MVP. That's how bad they were. Like, they were debating whether to give Peyton Manning MVP without playing a single game. I think they won one game that year.
Yeah, that was the year they didn't win. They won that one game and then got Andrew Luck.
Who was the quarterback? Curtis Painter.
Painter.
Yeah.
So, okay. My counterpoint would be, I mean, you've seen him in the playoffs. And also, like, he had all these different systems, but he was able to adapt to each system and excel in each system. I mean, he hasn't had a down year. He's been nasty. There's been years where his receiving core was garbage.
I fucking hate Tom Brady.
Gronk has been hurt a lot.
I hope that he fucking has an aneurysm and is fucking, they take his stupid fake hair. He has fake hair, by the way. That's
not fucking... I think he got really passionate
Yeah. Okay. They have all these, like, articles and stuff like that. Whoa, Tom Brady, he only eats, like, kale and all this stuff. Yeah, and he fucking takes a horse-sized dose of HGH, which they don't fucking test for. There's no fucking way that guy's that fucking old and that fucking good. Fuck him. Same with Peyton Manning. Okay,
so when Gronk went down, who was their emerging receiver? Who then came out of nowhere and became famous?
When Gronk went down?
Or not even when Gronk, but before Gronk. No, before that. Was Welker.
The smartest man that ever put on a Patriot jersey.
Wait. It was Welker, right? Welker has never ran a route longer than 7 yards. He is a dip and in receiver all game. Mm-hmm. And that's where he got his yards from. Yards after the catch. Had nothing to do with Tom Brady.
Now, he was the dump-off guy, and he was very, very successful at that. Tom Brady still did spread the field with his other receivers.
It's Tom... Like I said, Tom Brady doesn't suck. I would never sit up and say that Tom Brady is not a good quarterback. But it really infuriates me when people say things like he's the greatest of all time or he's better than Peyton Manning. Because Peyton Manning was a goddamn surgeon. He was his own offensive coordinator.
Peyton Manning was amazing. Also, like, honestly, up until the last two Super Bowls that Tom Brady won, I was absolutely with you. And I always have felt that you could detract from Tom Brady's his legacy with all of those factors that you said. I fully agree with you on all of those factors and that Tom Brady is in a system where he should be doing that well. But he does that well. And then you get him in the fucking playoffs and he is an assassin. And
unless he's playing the Giants.
Fucking win. That was just insane, miracle play after miracle play.
That was a crazy, amazing
Super Bowl.
Two times.
I think that actually adds to Tom Brady's greatness. Because the only way you can beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl is have the single... this is my personal opinion. I could be wrong. This could be blasphemy. But that New York Giants defensive line was the best ever assembled.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like that.
They were
six deep. Like even when their stars went out, they came in with people like if Tuck and Yosu Miura went out and then like Strahan, like they had six monsters.
I think we all should give a hand to Jason Pierre-Paul.
All right, but if you're talking best quarterback of all time, you got to give Dan Marino. Like if Dan Marino had the kind of leniency they have in today's game, he'd throw for 10,000 yards.
And
he'd throw 5,000 yards when guys were throwing for maybe two.
And he's the only quarterback in NFL history to get kidnapped by a transsexual police officer. So we gotta give him a
transgender. Transsexual is what they call it in porn.
Oh, whatever. Tipping my hand.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh. Now, I will never argue against Dan Marino, Steve Young, and John Elway. Those three, I couldn't argue.
Steve Young's a Mormon.
Even though I think
Peyton has horse teeth.
I think Peyton Manning is the best ever. But I can't argue against Dan Marino.
See, Dan Marino, just because he played the game in such a different era, but played like the guys do now. Like he was incredible, and
I never watched Marino
because he never won a championship. Remember. He isn't held in that high of regard. I mean, people know who he is; they know about him, but. I mean, Peyton Manning broke his record. That was his touchdown record. 48 touchdowns when guys were throwing 20, and that was a mind-blowing season.
Dan Marino was amazing, and Dan Marino didn't really have a great offensive line.
Or great receivers.
Yeah.
And that video of him freaking the fuck out on the set of CBS football is fucking hilarious.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Oh, I want to see that.
I don't think I can. I haven't figured out how to play shit. All right, whatever. We'll show it. I'll link it.
Figure that out.
Then. I'll link it into the thing.
Edited it in post.
Yeah.
Well,
whatever.
But yeah, I think Tom Brady's a good quarterback. I would never say he sucks. I just think
that he's a fucking MAGA chud, fucking Donald Trump hat piece of shit. Fucking, I just want to be positive. That's not a fucking stance, Tom. Like, you can't just fucking put a Trump hat in your locker, and then when people ask you about it, like, no, I just don't want to talk about it. I want to be positive, I want to be focused, I want to be drinking my fucking unfluoridated water so my fucking weird-ass guru gives me to turn for a profit because I'm a snake oil salesman. Fuck you, Tom Brady.
Well, he's loyal. He's been sticking by Trump's side. He's loyal.
Didn't he just throw him under the bus?
He didn't say shit.
That's what he said. He cheated on real PG with it.
Like, he cheated on... He's not that loyal. He cheated on... that's how he got with Giselle, right?
That's what the mood...
Bridget Moynihan.
Well, that doesn't count.
Oh, no, no. Are you talking about him fucking Ivanka Trump?
Well, he did that. So someone...
That's
Mooch
what the
said
Mooch
that,
said.
But he...
Who's the Mooch?
Steve Scaramucci. That Trump guy.
He was like the guy for like a week, yeah. So
he gave like an interview, and like out of nowhere, he's just like, yeah, maybe Tom Brady didn't go to the White House because he had a relationship with Ivanka or something like that. Like, what? It's like, I didn't say anything.
He was real PG, but he was
oh,
super
yeah,
loyal.
Absolutely. It was nothing. Loyal. He might as well... Like,
well, you know, he says things, and you know...
Yes, I just...
You know, that's I was like, what?
Dude, it fucking...
And he played for Michigan.
The fucking linked arms thing is such a fucking, like... Such a cop-out. Like, you know what I mean? The fucking... All these dudes that won't sign Colin Kaepernick, the owners, like, linking arms against the fucking...
Well, the owners coming down was bullshit.
Oh, absolutely.
The best thing ever was Jerry Jones taking a knee before the
anthem. Hilarious.
That was genius to me,
though. It's genius from a marketing standpoint. Here's the thing. But it doesn't... It's not proven... It's not doing anything.
Here's the thing. Colin Kaepernick had a very... A very righteous mission when he first kneeled. But because of when he kneeled, now it's getting lost in politics and
democracy.
So I'm not even mad that they took that knee before the anthem. I think that was kind of dope. Like, I think the whole team doing it, and because they accomplished both. Because here's what people are making it seem like, oh, we can only protest during a national anthem. No, that's just when they chose
to get the attention, to get people talking.
Exactly.
To start a conversation.
And then they just turned it into this, oh, well, you did it during the national anthem, so you clearly have something against America. And that was like, it blew my mind how retarded that was. That's like telling, like, you see black people marching for freedom in the streets, and then somebody saying, oh, you guys must fucking hate traffic. It's like, what are you talking about? This has nothing to do with fucking traffic. This is just where we're protesting. Why don't you listen to what we're protesting about?
That's the thing that drove me fucking crazy about it, is that, like, Roger Goodell puts out a statement. So, like, they all got pissed because he specifically told them what to do. And, like, the NFL, above anything else, like, fucking protect that fucking shield. It's like their message to the White House was, you know what, we're the real institution with the fucking kangaroo court system that's built on the backs of minorities, bub. Okay? We'll take it from here.
And they just refused to even acknowledge it.
Yeah, exactly.
Trump tweeted out a tweet that said something along the lines of, the only way the NFL can get out of this situation if they make it a rule that you cannot kneel during the national anthem. And I'm just like, well, the NFL also can get out of it if you tell police to stop shooting unarmed black people?
What if police just start shooting more unarmed white people?
Just even it out.
Yeah, does that make it better?
That would bring us together. Yeah. It really would.
Because more likely. I don't feel like cops are going to stop shooting unarmed black guys, but they might start shooting more unarmed white people.
I honestly think that would bring us together.
If a kid named Tanner gets shot,
that would bring us together. Yeah. Because it's just so weird, man. You see all these videos of these white people who are literally fighting the police. Like legit textbook resisting arrest. And they're like safely being dragged in.
Well, the fucking Charlottesville videos and shit like that. Like they're just like shoving police down, like running. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. We're not gonna. They like set a as a strategy. They're like, yeah, well, we didn't want to arrest anybody because it would have caused more unrest. It's like, what? Like, that's not how it's fun.
It's so weird, man. And then the escape routes from the conversation are just so unique. Like, people, I was talking to somebody today who just was talking about how I just don't want politics in my sports.
Yeah, it's as just, if it exists in a separate arena like than life. When,
like, do you not understand that these athletes are not avatars on your TV screen? These are real people with young black children who fear for their children. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not okay to shoot them and then be like, well, can we just not talk about it? Like,
I posted on Facebook, and I don't like to post political shit at all. But, like, I was blown away that nobody even came out of the locker room for the national anthem before 2009. Like, I do not remember a time that surprised me. When they weren't all lined up and there wasn't all this pageantry. Like, honestly, nobody talked about that until very recently.
How did that happen? They paid them to do
that. Yeah, that's
how did all of this just come out now?
How is it patriotic if you got paid to do it?
It's not actually the first year would have been when Brandon Whedon got trapped by the first flag sponsored.
That was hilarious.
Sponsored by the Pentagon.
I didn't like. I knew that. Like, it seemed like the big flags and all that shit were kind of new, but like the players lining up, that all like I felt like that all.
Because I feel like that's something you did in like Pee Wee football, but I don't even remember.
I don't think we did that in Pee Wee.
I think they would play like the national anthem, but it wasn't like someone would sing it for bigger games.
High school.
Maybe high school, yeah. I didn't play high school football, but I might have been
at the game. No, I think I was in the locker room in high school.
I don't remember.
See, that's why I think Pee Wee football, because we didn't have locker rooms, so like, but it is fucked up that it, like, people are just now finding that out, that it's only been around. But it doesn't matter because it's not about the national anthem, it's not about the flag, it's about the way the police treat black people, and that's the conversation that is. It should always be about. It shouldn't be about anything else until people are like, oh, man, it is fucked up that black people get, you know, arrested and searched and all this shit, like, 5 times, 20 times, 30 times, whatever that number is, more than white people.
And it's unreal because they'll say something like, oh, I don't want the opinion of a multi-million dollar person with no pride. Like, I don't want their opinion. Like, they shouldn't have. But then on the flip side, if they do something and they're not, you know, they're not a role model, that's the first thing you say. You're a role model to kids. And you got, you should be standing up and kids look up to you. It's like, well, you're going to have to make up your mind. Like,
the reality of the situation is that 40% of this country, it doesn't matter what you say or how you present to them or anything, just out and out fact that they're just don't like black people or brown people, or you know what I mean? Like, I'd say it's as high as that, and it's so people don't even know that.
Or even other kinds of white people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, doesn't matter what the fucking president says or does, he has 40% approval rate in this country. 2 out of 3 white men in this country voted for Donald Trump. It just is what it is, and people fucking, all those guys are afraid that, like, 2040 ain't too far away when fucking the white man is no longer the fucking majority race.
Yeah, but they also don't look at the benefit of that.
But they are fucking.
But they're not going to be around for it, for one.
And if they are, they're going to be very old. Right, within 20 years. Well, if we even last that long.
But if white people aren't the majority in America, and it's Latino or black people or whatever. It's not going to wipe away what you are.
But like, you can't you'll reason still with be people. That. They're stupid.
I know, and that's what it comes down to, is people are stupid, and our schools are the problem.
Yeah,
that's a real problem.
Is our people schools are shit. And then, like I said, people get on my nerves, like, trying to separate politics and sports. First of all, the national anthem is, you know, 4 minutes before a game, and then you got 3 hours of football. Like, are you really that annoyed by what's happening?
Exactly.
Like, is it really that bad? And then you say,
when you're standing there with nachos, like, you're not, like, all you're doing is just like, I really want, my beer's getting warm, I want to eat these nachos. Like, you're not being patriotic. Maybe like 8% of all Americans are really like feeling that moment, but there's not that many people that are. We're just trying to get through the fucking national anthem.
Again, all the people that fucking say, well, gotta have respect for this country, never fucking talk about this country. And then all of a sudden, until they watch turn into Uncle fucking Sam at the beginning of the football game, they're the same people that the only thing they'll say about the government is they'll bitch about their taxes. That's it. That's the only time they ever fucking think about the government.
Well, I don't even listen to people. Like, if you're going to be upset about the national anthem, I'm not paying you no attention unless you can show me footage of you being upset at an innocent black child being murdered in the street. Like, if that didn't upset you, then I don't want to talk. Like, why are we having this conversation? Like, what? For what? And then athletes are not allowed to say anything because they're rich. Like, yeah. That makes no sense. And then you'd be mad if athletes make it about being rich. Like, the next time your favorite player leaves your favorite team to go somewhere else for more money, just remember, at least he's not taking a stand for racial injustice.
That's too, they're like, oh, they're not grateful for the chance. This is the country where they get to be millionaires because of the opportunities that we've given them. You didn't give them any opportunities. They earn that. They are elite athletes, and there is supply and demand. That's American. Exactly. That's capitalism.
They call it a privilege. It's not a privilege. It's not a privilege. I fucking earned this.
Yeah.
Privilege is something you're born into or given. No, I dedicated my life to this.
Privilege is what the three of us have by being born white.
Can't be a privilege if I dedicated my life to doing it. Like, no.
I think one of the most, like, underlooked stories about, like, this whole thing is, well, it sort of plays into it, but, like, how last year Isaiah Crowell got literally extorted by the Cleveland Police Union to give up whatever his game check was to, like, the police union, because, remember,
he had to do something like that. What he did was fucking extreme.
Wouldn't some people go to Carl Nassib's fucking Twitter account where he tweets about fucking the Bible or whatever he does all day and say, hey, or like, Christianity is great. Why would somebody be offended by that? They can say whatever the fuck. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, but I'm not a police
union. He's like a big fucking Bible humper or whatever.
Is he?
Yeah.
Christian, I believe humper? They're called.
It's thumper.
Whatever.
First of all.
See, no, I've been told that Carl Nassib's gay.
Well, then that would make sense.
I was told that some people think that Carl Nassib's gay. Wow. That there are certain tendencies in the way he dresses and the little Filipino guy he hangs out with a bunch.
Hey. Oh my god, let's catfish him. Pound cake to catfish him.
good for Carl Nassib, man.
He hangs out with a little Filipino guy?
That's what I was told. I have a friend that is friends with somebody that knows a bunch of those dudes, and like, they saw him out and he was wearing like super tight clothes. It was like just him and like a little Filipino guy together.
He's a big holy roller, man. But anyways, my point remains, if
it was extreme and you can't convince me otherwise. It was a lot.
He shouldn't have had to give up.
It was over the line.
Okay, and then this year comes around and that same fucker like trashes him again because he takes a knee in a preseason game. He's like, especially Isaiah Crowell, like, he all but called him boy, like, in the fucking public rebuke that, like, he fucking did, and nobody said a word about that. And okay, you can't, there's no pleasing these fucking goons, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, every time you capitulate. That's why when the NFL doesn't want to be political at all, you know what I mean? Like, they were forced into this position because the stupid fuckhead that they donated all that money to has dementia and fucking tweets out whatever he said, the last thing that he saw on TV, and it happened to be about football on Fox and Friends or whatever, and force them into a position, you know what I mean? And the fucking, like, the oh, fuck, what was I going to say? No, I was making a great point.
Were you? Were you really making a great point?
The one thing I will say, I kind of go back and forth on this issue of, I almost wish he would have just picked a better time to do that other than during the national anthem. But at the same time, you were protesting the things that was going on in America. So I kind of get it. But
wait, even, what are you talking about?
He would have found a different time or a different Colin place.
Kaepernick. Oh, you're talking about Kaepernick. Yeah, you're talking about Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Can we all agree, other than Ryan, that it was over the line, what Isaiah Crowell put out there?
I don't even think I remember it.
It was the picture of a cop getting his throat cut.
Like, right? ISIS.
Oh. Yeah.
But no, oh yeah, so that's what they're
going to do. A lot. Can we agree? That's a lot?
That's a lot.
For the love of God,
was it artistic? Was it for art?
Was it a...
It wasn't artistic.
No. Was it artistic? Because Kathy Griffin got in trouble for the same thing, and hers was art.
My point was that, like, the ESPN and the NFL, they want to capitulate to all the chuds that get offended about the anthem thing, whatever, and there's no pleasing any of them, because Isaiah Crowell kneeled this year, and Steve Lou, and, like, after he gave up his check, went to, like, Dallas after that, like, shooting, those police shooting or whatever, like, volunteered for a bunch of shit, like, a bunch of photo ops or whatever, and at the very next moment, again, something that has nothing to do with Steve Loomis's fucking rosy cheek, fat fuckness, he fucking throws them under the bus. All these chuds, nothing is good enough for them. Anytime you give them an inch, they want a mile, because they want to fucking...
Well, that's a union guy, and that's what he does.
They want something to talk about on the news. They just want something to talk about on the news. That's what most of it is, as far as blowing those kind of things out of proportion. They want viewership and something to talk about on the news, because everything's not always exciting, and this fills a whole bunch of time. Like, as far as something, dragging something like that back up. That's why that's being done.
I don't think, I mean, I think some things don't help. Like, if you drawing a picture of a cop getting his head cut off by ice, that doesn't help. But as far as over the line, no. Black kids are being shot in the head. If somebody else is not getting shot, then it's not over the line.
Yeah, there's a big difference between and something offensive on Instagram where no one was hurt, and like someone actually dying because people aren't good at their jobs.
So whatever he did, I'm sure it was unnecessary and it didn't help our cause. But over the line?
You can't just put something out there encouraging people to kill police officers. Not all police officers are bad. Is there a problem with a lot of shitty police officers? Yeah, but you can't just
send
something out there encouraging people to murder police officers.
I don't think
so. Well, there's a lot of good men on the police forces.
I believe, but why don't those guys speak up?
Yeah. I'm sure they do.
I don't think they do enough.
No, they do. What? They don't.
Nobody.
Anyone that's ever called
the
radio.
That's the number one problem in this whole scenario.
Absolutely. There's a brotherhood, and they don't come out publicly. From the stories I've heard, as far as internally, like, yeah, they're like.
It's not even about. I don't care what you say. Like, my thing is, no matter how close I am to a knit group, and I've been on several football teams, frats. All that, black people, family. I've been a part of several different sub societies of people that we were very close. But if one of them murdered people,
how many Madea movies have you seen?
Oh, I hate Madea. I shoot myself in the face if I watch that. But if one of them started shooting people in the face, then I'm going to denounce that person. And accountability is the number one reason this thing has lasted as long as it did.
Yeah,
you can be a cop. You can make a mistake. You can shoot a black kid in the face because they look scary. Some of them look scary. I'm okay with that, okay? You can make that mistake. But you then cannot run to the covering of a group of people that we're supposed to say, please protect me, and then they protect the person that shot me in the face. They're not even getting punished. They're not even going to jail.
Yeah. Mike, you can't encourage.
They're not losing their jobs.
You can't post something encouraging people to murder police officers.
But it's not like
you can't do that. Are all these things a big problem? Am I denying that this isn't a giant issue? Absolutely not. And they are huge problems, absolutely. But You can't put things out there telling people to murder police officers.
I agree with Brian. You can't do that. But it is a far cry from what is actually happening.
It's a big fuck up. I think it's something like you work for a company. Once again, you work for a company. If you want to keep working for this company, you want to tweet shit out about fucking killing a police officer, there should be repercussions. None of us can do that at our jobs.
I understand.
I'm okay with your viewpoint, and I'm okay with
as a comedian. Are you getting booked if that goes viral? If people start talking about you tweeting something out about killing police officers,
like I said, I'm 100% okay with your viewpoint, and I'm okay with your passion level about that viewpoint. My problem is, I'd like to see you get equally as passionate about innocent black kids being murdered for no reason. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It's not okay to promote violence. It's not okay to promote the killing of police officers. Not all of them are bad, but if you're going to get outraged by a picture, then you should be outraged by the death of an innocent young person.
What makes you think that I'm not?
I'm just saying, your octave got high about that fucking picture. That's all. Your octave got real intense about that fucking picture, and we've been talking about murdered kids for the last 10 minutes. I'm just saying.
But I had nothing to add to the way that you were speaking passionately about murdered kids. I wanted just to jump in after the things that you said and go through some big fucking monologue.
I would have loved that.
That's what you wanted? Actually, I would have loved that. I was just sitting here quietly agreeing with you.
I would have loved that.
I didn't know you needed a display of passion to believe and I'm against kids getting murdered. For the love of God.
Is this anti-promoting cops being killed has anything to do with you looking really closely like one?
You're a calf tattoo away.
It's called an endomorph. I'm a big bone guy. Doctors have told me I'm big bone. I can't help it if I look like a
sheriff. You look exactly like a sheriff.
I bet you. Yeah, but you're like in walking tall. You're like you have your 2x4.
I'll take that. Thank you for thinking that I'd be a cool cop.
But yeah, like I said, I have no. I
play basketball with him.
I don't think that you know, I don't think all cops are bad. And I was of the opinion when all of this first started about young black kids getting killed. I was of the opinion that we should have focused on getting kids taught how to get home safe and not to be proud black and adhere to what they're saying and get home safe. So I was of the opinion that the kids needed to do something different. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to come off like, fuck the police, because I'm not that guy. I don't have a problem with police officers. Mm-hmm. I just, like I said, if you're going to get outraged and if people are going to be so incensed about pictures and protesting, but not about the death of innocent kids, like, I find a hard time taking you seriously.
Now, okay, once again, it didn't seem like a display of passion was necessary. It really didn't.
No, I'm
not pro kids getting killed. Question for you. How do you fix this situation? How do you, when, like, it's not like they're...
Kill some cops.
...are specific laws. Wording in, like, the laws, like, there's really nothing to change. Like, I don't know what kind of laws you could write. What you need to do is...
To do what?
Is to stop...
You can prosecute somebody. You cannot
get rid of assholes. You cannot get rid of monsters. And you can't get rid of racism. My thing is punish it. You're probably not going to stop injustice. My problem is punish it. Don't stop not doing anything to these people who are killing people.
The motherfucker...
But, like, how do you get them to stop doing it? Like, I mean, like...
You can punish the ones who do.
For what they do.
Hold them accountable, yes.
Because the judges, how do you get the judges to do that?
Well, it's more of the... I mean, in the jury. The DA is, like, that never brings the charges to them. For example, how in the world did a guy that shot two unarmed people 147 times... Maybe you should implement a program in your police, training course that, like, you shouldn't shoot somebody 147 times. Like, start with that.
Here's what the thing. If you're a bad cop, you usually have some issues. So I think the last thing you do before you become a cop is you have to fight your dad. And if you fight your dad and you win and you're
like Hot Rod.
Right. Like, and then, like, and you feel like all this, like, chip on your shoulder is gone. Like, oh my God, I didn't want to be a cop. I just wanted to stand up for my dad and I finally did it. And then you don't feel that need to be a police officer anymore. Then you don't be a police officer. But if you beat up your dad and you're like, man, I wish I hadn't done that, but I was doing it and, you know, it was part of this thing, but there's no animosity towards my dad, you're probably a level-headed enough person because you're not going to beat the shit out of your dad. You're just going to, like, hold him down and, like, you know, be like, hey, dad.
Fuck him.
I'm just trying to get this job.
And like I said, you're not going to get rid of monsters. You're not going to get rid of assholes. No,
but hold
them
accountable.
You're not going to get rid of these bad police officers. But my problem is, and I don't even think black people would be upset if you would just do something. If you would just take these cops, denounce them, drop them off in the hood with $5,000 cash, and just let them fend for themselves, then we would be happy because you're punishing the people that are doing it. You know what I mean? You're punishing the people that are doing it instead of making it okay. Like, you're literally making it okay. You're saying, oh, you killed the black dude? All right, well, go home to your family. You get to go home and not work for a couple weeks because we need to fix this. Or we need, like, how am I supposed to feel about that? How am I supposed to feel about the people who are committing crimes against me getting vacations? Like it's just not...
Here's something that I literally felt like when the Facebook Live killer was out there and they were searching for him, I was nervous that because you fit enough of his profile that you could have gotten...
He was darker. He was fatter.
Listen.
His beard was not as full as mine.
He is all those things.
He just had a beard.
He is much bald. But I'm not looking at him. Yeah.
He was much different. Like, it wasn't
much different to you and to me, but enough that if someone saw that person or saw you,
it's not even like close.
It's like close enough. I'm talking about
all the things that if my mom saw you,
she'd be like, there's the guy.
Out of all the things a person can be, or all the ways you can describe a person, there's millions of ways I can describe Brian Kenny. Me and that dude had two in common, bald and bearded.
Brian and I look enough alike. We don't look alike at all. But we look enough alike that if I was on the news and they're trying to find me, Brian could be
People send me mugshots all the time. Bill, I look like any large, dark-haired, bearded man.
Bill just I look like 90%
with a longer
beard.
I've gotten
Rick Ross before.
Rick Ross, I can see. Bill kind
of... How? Me and Rick Ross is extremely darker, extremely fat.
I was gonna say,
like, he's not even that old.
He lost some weight.
It's just the beard and baldness. He has tattoos all over his body. You could not mistake me for Rick Ross.
I'm with Mike on this one,
dude. I got,
but like from a glance, like from
I
a,
get Jonah
no,
Hill.
No, that's
Do I look anything like Jonah Hill.
That
no.
is substantially racist.
Chubby and beard.
I was just going to call Bill on his wokest, they all look the same take of all time, but I think that I might have done it.
One time at the Blue Martini Lounge when Bruton was running it, it was the Monday after the Zimmerman verdict. And he brings me up as looking like George Zimmerman. Like that time, he goes, wow. Your next comedian looks like George Zimmerman.
Oh, yeah, you do look Brian like George Kenny. Zimmerman, though.
I do not look
like George Zimmerman. Oh, dude, like, hold on. I'll bring up that fucking George Zimmerman. I'll bring up a picture. Dude.
You're going to bring a picture. I don't look anything like George Zimmerman.
Okay. Okay.
You're both cops. So
now George Zimmerman wanted to be a cop. He couldn't be a cop.
Yeah. Brian could at least be a cop.
I do not look like George Zimmerman.
Au contraire, my friend.
So anyways, afterwards.
I mean, listen.
People were coming up to me saying you look like Toby Keith. People were telling me.
Ryan looks like a Nazi, so he has that.
Hold on.
You do look like a Nazi.
We Photoshop it and he's
like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do not look like George Zimmerman.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the beard's a little bit opposite because you got the bald patch. Wow. You got the line.
Yeah. Wow.
I know Halloween costume.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Fuck you, Rick Ross.
Wow.
Fuck you, Rick Ross.
But that y'all are y'all got the same shape head.
It's good like, to have your uncle
me and the Facebook killer does not even have the same shape head. Like we're nothing. We're both bald and we have beards. That's it.
You look like Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
I've gotten
What's the weirdest one that you've gotten?
Probably the Facebook killer or Rick Ross. Yeah, I mean, there's some I can understand. Like
you look just like Facebook killer.
Suge Knight. I've gotten Suge Knight before. Okay. I don't think I look like Suge Knight, but I get it. I get it.
You look like
light skinned, bearded dude. I get it. I look. We're enough of the same stuff.
Yeah.
To where you can, I've gotten. It would
have got hell of a Halloween costume for you if you went out as Suge Knight. Everybody would know you were Suge Knight. You can't deny that. If you went out as Rick Ross, everybody would know you were Rick Ross.
No, it wouldn't.
A flashy costume.
Tattooed, but listen, you go out as Suge Knight, but you have like a white. Like Justin Bieber doll that with a Vanilla Ice haircut hanging it over a fucking balcony.
If you just wore your regular going out clothes and like a couple chains on Halloween, people would come up to you and ask if you were Rick Ross.
They would ask me if I'm a rapper. No, they would probably.
Would they not?
They'd probably ask me if I was
a couple tip offs and you were supposed to be a rapper on Halloween. They go, "Oh, this is a lazy Rick Ross attempt."
Too tough.
I've gotten Ice Cube. I've gotten a couple that I'm like, okay,
Ice Cube.
I've gotten, you know, stuff that I'm like, you're stupid, but I get it. But no.
I got Freddie Prinze Jr. once. Not even
he
close.
Was stung by a bee.
You beat me fucking to it. I can see Freddie Prinze Jr.
No, you can't.
I actually can.
Oh, sorry. He said you look like that really handsome guy. That's
I don't. Th- I know it would be sure, great if I the difference. Like, fucking
the difference is. I hope you end up.
Like all I can see is George Zimmerman. So
I hope you end up like Freddie Prinze Sr. Fucker.
In the one picture, he looks like me. In most of his pictures, he does not.
Right. But in that one.
In that one.
What? What? That one's dead on.
I hate that picture. That one certainly does look like me. And Mike was
you
like,
should get a fucking calf tattoo, fucker. Oh, man.
In what? High school, this one kid, we used to play rec basketball, and everybody took it real seriously. And there was this one ref that had this big, like, fucking dragon calf tattoo. And this kid would sit there on the bench and just taunt this ref and go, "Sweet calf tattoo, sweet calf tattoo." And then this kid gets a tattoo on his calf that says, "Sweet calf tattoo." As like this inside joke that he thought that everybody would love, and everybody just made fun of him for it. So in his trying to make fun of a calf tattoo, he got a calf tattoo that everybody made fun of.
That's actually kind of tight.
That's an exception. Did you guys talk about Dwayne Wade yet?
We did on the porch.
Did we not? Okay, I remember shitting on him, but I don't know if we did it on.
We didn't record it. Yeah,
so I get to shit on him again.
Yeah, shit on him again.
Sweet. Dwayne Wade is a useless old man. He has no benefit to the Cavs whatsoever. Everybody keeps saying he averaged 18 points last year, and that was in like less than 60 games. He doesn't play. Like he doesn't add to the depth because he's not even going to probably go on any road trips. He's not going to help LeBron at all.
I disagree.
It's better than having like fucking James Jones on the back. You know what I mean?
But
like,
that's, I think that's James Jones. James Jones comes in ready to shoot every goddamn time.
That's what I think Dwayne Wade can do. Is he can be a veteran presence there, like. He's an old dude, but he's won championships. He knows the game.
We have Richard Jefferson.
He'll keep everybody focused, and he can still play well enough. And he doesn't have to do. He doesn't have to score 18 points a game. If he scores 12 or 14 points a game, I would love him coming off the bench. That's his best role: coming off the bench, playing 25 minutes a night. That's all he needs to do.
Is his ego going to take that? If you're saying to me
that
Dwayne Wade
yes.
is going to come off of the bench, I'd be okay with that, because that was one of my biggest issues, is that his presence is going to mesh up the little chemistry that is left by putting JR back on the bench.
With Kyrie leaving, what kind of chemistry do you think is left? I think that whatever chemistry is left is
unhappy.
Going to be there no matter what. I think it's been chiseled down to the foundation. I think the foundation remains, and I don't think you're going to waver that between LeBron and JR and everything like that.
But no, JR is sensitive, man. You can't sit him back down and expect him to be okay. He's a sensitive dude.
But he also likes to win.
And he loves Cleveland.
And he loves
the pipe.
Everything. He loves winning. So if he's winning,
laying it down.
And then he also gets, if JR goes to the bench and he comes off the bench then he gets to be a hero off the bench because he's going to come in, he's going to play defense, and he's going to make shots. So, and people already love him in Cleveland. If Dwayne Wade comes off the bench, then he's going to be he has a chance to be sixth man of the year. Like, he could do that. And at this point in his career where he knows his body's breaking down, as long as he wins another ring, he doesn't give a fuck. That's what I really think.
He'll contribute to getting a ring, too. I think he's okay with contributing to getting a ring. At least I hope. Fuck,
I don't think he came here to link up with his best friend.
He came here on $2.2 million salary to win. I think he's...
But he didn't come for... He didn't come to his friend's team to not play with him.
No, they're going to play.
He's going to want to start with LeBron.
Then he'll start. And I think JR... these guys, I know they got egos, but they also hate fucking losing to the Warriors. Tell you that much.
I would love to take a poll of the Cavaliers roster that thinks Dwayne Wade's addition will help them with the Warriors. Because I don't even think they think that.
I think everybody thinks it.
It can't hurt. The only thing that it can hurt, I see the argument against it, is that he can't shoot. Like, they have to change their whole kind of like offensive game, because their whole game plan is built on LeBron driving and dishing it out to guys that can fucking shoot, right?
And nobody in the starting lineup can shoot now.
You're saying when they bench JR or whatever. Yeah.
If they bench JR, nobody in the starting lineup can shoot.
Isaiah.
He can space the floor.
And
Isaiah's
not going to play.
He's a pretty damn good shooter.
He's a good shooter. He's not going to play. If he's not going to play till next year.
But those first 2 months are all figuring out.
We can get back
after
the fucking All-Star break and we'll be just fine.
Yeah. All we need to do is get to the fucking finals again.
Kate Felder can start and we will be fine at the All-Star game when Isaiah Thomas...
The only reason Kate Felder is on the team is because Dan Gilbert saw one of his fucking college games and Dan Gilbert thinks that he's a fucking... genius.
His numbers were crazy, and he was a late second round pick.
Here's what you got to understand. When you have a ball dominant point guard, that changes the dynamic of what's happening on the floor. You cannot just interject him in the middle or the end of a season and think they're going to mesh or find a way to hit. Kyrie Irving just left for this exact reason. Kyrie Irving left because he could not stand his role in an offense where LeBron was the point guard.
But Kyrie is also 24, 25 years old. And
full-blown green light. He could shoot whenever he wanted. He didn't want that.
He didn't want to be just a weapon. He didn't want to be just a bullet from a gun. He wanted to be a facilitator. He wanted LeBron's role. And I'm saying you cannot add a ball-dominant point guard to what LeBron does and think that he's just going to...
He wasn't out there distributing and dishing it out when he... got the ball. There were plenty of times where he was dribbling at the top of the key with the ball in his hand.
A lot of what Kyrie's saying is held back.
I think Kyrie, this is all ego for Kyrie and running his own fucking legacy. I think that's what it is.
Watching Kyrie's interview is the only reason I say I don't know what Kyrie was thinking, but from his interview, he was saying that playing with LeBron did not let him be a traditional point guard, and that's what he wanted to do. He wants to be a traditional point guard.
Because he can't go out there and say, I have an ego, and I don't like not being the number one guy. I think he's not going to go out there and become that villain talking about ego, saying, I want to make my own legacy. I don't want to play with LeBron anymore. He doesn't want to do any of that. Instead, he's going to go
about
playing more, growing as a player.
That goes against what you said earlier about players wanting to win. If he wanted to win, then he would make the adjustments and play with the best player in the world. Why would you...
When did I say this? Are you talking about like the veterans, like D-Wade?
Because
Dwayne Wade's a guy at the end of his career looking for another championship. Kyrie Irving's, 25 years old, and he's spoiled by already going to those fucking championships?
And he just wants to, see if he can make it with his own team.
He wants to win MVP. Yeah. He wants to put up Westbrook-type numbers.
He wants the number one shoe, even though he's already up there at the top.
He wants all that stuff. He wants Kyrie Irving to be... the leader of a team.
He wants
a lot of the things that just playing on LeBron's team won't get him. And I understand that.
But he's also going to
find
out.
They are all outside of the court.
That's fine. But what I'm saying is, you couldn't add a Kyrie in the middle of a season and it'd be okay. You cannot have a LeBron. The dynamic of LeBron and then a ball dominant point guard is just not going to mesh well out of nowhere.
Right, but as long as they understand that, all we really need is someone that can score points when LeBron's on the bench for 6 minutes a game.
But also, Isaiah is a scorer. He's a decent distributor, but he's more or less, I think, a tougher Kyrie with slightly worse defense.
He's not even close to the skills that Kyrie Irving has. Kyrie Irving is an assassin. Isaiah Thomas is a great basketball player.
Isaiah Thomas was an assassin last year. He was a fourth quarter killer.
He was just
for most
tough.
Of the season. He came alive tough. In the fourth quarter.
He shot a lot of free throws. He was little. He just jumped in there.
But that's good.
Jumped
that's
in with the big
good.
Boys.
He's still knocking down 30 points. Why? Like, I mean,
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying you can't compare him to Kyrie Irving.
Why?
Because Kyrie Irving is an assassin.
Kyrie Irving is very fun to watch, but Kyrie goes cold. I don't think that Kyrie can
every,
be
every,
the guy.
Every monster goes cold. That's the nature of shooting baskets. That doesn't mean you're any less of an amazing player. Like, you can have... That's like saying, comparing, like, Kobe Bryant to like, Carmelo Anthony and saying, oh, well, he was, you know, had great skills. It's like, yeah, he was awesome. But Kobe was an assassin. Like, he's not on Kyrie's level.
I agree. I don't think he is on Kyrie's level, but he's only a little bit below him. And the other stuff that we got out of that trade makes our team better.
You know what arguing a lot of that sounds like? Is
Jay Crowder
Peyton
is
Manning
gonna be big.
Versus Tom Brady.
No,
it's not. It is an assassin in the playoffs versus your regular season numbers.
An assassin.
No, Kobe has better numbers no matter where than like a player like Carmelo Anthony. It's not Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. No, it's not.
Carmelo is going to play the four at
for Oklahoma.
Yeah,
which, he hates that though.
But he said that he's going to. Like, that's he was always trolling.
Said he's going
I
to,
thought
and
he
didn't say anything back.
No. I thought he said it in like on Media Day that he was going
to. You know what I'm saying? The team is making him play the four if he wants to start.
I thought he did it as like a troll move to the fucking Knicks.
Do you think they have a shot at taking down the Warriors?
Ah, shit.
No.
This mic is fucking up.
I think the only team that has any chance is the Rockets, but I still don't think they have enough. Maybe the Spurs.
The team that can challenge the Warriors does not exist.
It's the Cleveland Cavaliers.
There is no team that can challenge the Warriors.
The only team
that could have challenged the Warriors
was the
Paul George Cleveland Cavaliers team.
Or the Cleveland Cavaliers that beat them and then gave them more of a fight than the series. We've acknowledged that. Gave them more of a fight than the series, the 4-1 indicates.
I
love the Kyrie trade. I think we got a lot more value.
I think Jay Crowder's going to be important.
Well, that number one pick is going to be big.
Yeah,
too.
That's part of it. But Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas are great fucking moves. And I think you add a couple of veterans. If one pans out,
winning is a difference between winning a trade and then challenging the Warriors. Yes, you won the trade. But you only won that trade if Isaiah Thomas is anything. Well, we don't know if he can be anything. That's number one.
That's all speculation. Everything that any doctor has said is that he should be fine.
He should be fine, but they don't know when he's coming back. That's not encouraging. That's when they expect. They said that's the best case scenario.
So maybe it's after the All-Star break. Like, he'll be back. He'll play again.
There's still a lot of time. Yeah.
And a hip injury on a tiny man that is a Allen Iverson level banger that is always in the paint getting beat to death.
If you want to talk about being fragile, talk about Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's very fragile.
But he's an assassin.
But he's also super fragile. He had to miss a finals because of injury.
He's an assassin for one season. He's not the... If he was an assassin, he would have showed up in this past finals. But he was cold as fuck in this past finals.
And I'm not shitting on Isaiah Thomas. I think Isaiah Thomas is great. If he can come back and be Isaiah Thomas, then we're just fine. We got enough in return for Kyrie Irving, that the drop off from Kyrie to Isaiah is not that big a deal.
But
we're saying that he's going to come back and be, we're assuming he's going to come back and be Isaiah Thomas, and I'm just not that, I'm not sure.
So, but you're sure about Kyrie Irving being, holding up and continuing to be, because Kyrie Irving has a proven history of missing a lot of fucking games. Isaiah Thomas too. Isaiah Thomas, you're assuming the worst for Isaiah Thomas and you're assuming the best for Kyrie.
And Isaiah Thomas has such a fucking chip on his shoulder because fucking like, tough, he's dude. Hungry and he's not going to give.
Mad.
He's excited to be LeBron's Robin. He does not give. He's so happy about that. He wants a championship.
His personality. I watched enough of his interviews to know that he is a dope person. I'm all about his spirit and his heart.
He wore LeBron shoes on media day.
I'm all about his heart. I'm all about it. I think as far as meshing a team goes, we're better off with him than Kyrie. But we're, like I said, we're assuming that I think people don't understand hips and backs are way more important than people think. Your hit, you plant, like he's not gonna be able to plant.
Kevin Love had an issue with his back, and Kevin Love is back and looking just fine.
Kevin Love is he's always out.
He's not always out.
He's chronically out.
He's not always out. He was always out, but the past couple of years, he's played most of the games.
The year before that, he missed most of the season.
Did he?
But then he came back and we won a championship.
He missed most of that championship season.
But like he played in the games that
I'm just saying
mattered until block. The finals.
If had he a comes great back, stop on yeah. Steph Curry.
If he comes back and he's Isaiah Thomas, then I feel like we won. But like I said before, there's a difference between winning a trade and then getting enough to challenge the Warriors. I'm speaking of the Cavs from a vantage point of being able to challenge the Warriors. And I just don't think that trade...
Up until the 2016-2017 season. 2016-2017, he missed 22 games. Before that, the past three seasons before that, 77 games he played, 75 games he played, 77 games he played. That's three strong seasons of missing five or seven games, and that's it throughout the entire season. That's their ability through three seasons after having back issues.
And there was a lot of games that he sat this past season... Where they were just doing like those where they're not playing those back to backs, where they're like, okay, we're gonna give him the night off. So
well, if you're grading
he could have played 70
until now, yeah, but we're talking about him coming off of a season where he missed a bunch of games, and how is his health from here forward? Sure, if you just
wait and see.
If you're just grading him up to this point, yeah, it's not that bad. But we're not grading him up to this point.
But you can't look back at that injury and say that it's indicative of the fact that he is injury prone when the past three seasons before that he showed that he wasn't injury prone. Now when he missed in the finals, he did not miss because his body broke down. He missed because somebody injured him. Kyrie Irving broke down. Broke down, and his body could not take the pounding.
No, I mean, that's not true.
Here's my definition of injury
for Kyrie Irving. You can't track that back to one play. His body broke down. It was the pounding on his legs and the cutting and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And he developed tendonitis and issues within his knees. And
I'm not going to sit here
breakdown.
And say, you're fucking being Homer guy right now. I understand.
Agree with me.
I don't like Kyrie. Fuck Kyrie. But Kyrie is fucking really good.
Yeah, he is. Agree with me.
He's very good.
My definition of injury is
focus.
Is if you I've have
been saying this since he was here.
If you have an injury and then that injury, you say that injury is healed and then you re-injure it. Not playing through an injury or playing while injured and then having to miss games. Kevin Love was said to be fine several different times and then was re-injured. That's injury prone. Kyrie was injured and then played through injury. And so when that flares back up, that's not injury prone. He's playing through an injury. There's a difference between playing through an injury and then I'm fine, damn, I'm out again. Now I'm good, damn, I'm out again. Like, that's injury prone.
And what was Kevin Love's injury this year?
It's always been the same. It's been his back.
Kevin Love.
I thought it was his shoulder this year.
No, his shoulder, because that was...
Yeah, it was his shoulder.
Shoulder that...
The Kelly same shoulder that Kelly... That ended up getting hurt this year. So before that, he had a back injury that, you know, played three seasons. Mm-hmm. Three almost full seasons. I'm not being a homer here like with Kevin Love, but as far as like that's Kyrie Irving's missed a lot of games.
Guys, the Cavs are trash.
I personally think Kyrie Irving's a very, very good player, and I loved having him here. But Kyrie Irving, I don't think is going to be as good at being the guy as people think.
The Indians are going to have his own series.
I think he's going to do a fuck ton of stats, but they are not going to win the game.
He's going to have some super crazy games, and then he's going to have he'll end up averaging 25 points a game. He'll probably have five or six assists. Kyrie Irving shots with 25 and 6 is what I'm guessing for Kyrie Irving plus shitty defense.
Irving combined with Brad Stevens, they're going to win games. They're going to win games because his Brad Stevens team is going to play great group defense, and then you have an assassin on offense. So I just can't imagine in the
they're going to win games, but they're not going to be the Cavs will walk right through them.
Well, I'm not promoting Boston's dominance. I just, like I said, my point to mentioning it was I just don't think that trade gave the Cavs what they needed to challenge the Warriors. The Warriors are amazing, and the Cavs needed a second person other than LeBron to guard KD, and they didn't do that. Now, if we would have got Paul George, I would have been just as excited about this season.
Jay Crowder is
5'9". He cannot guard Kevin Durant. He's just going to shoot over him like he does everyone else.
He is one of the best perimeter defenders in the league.
And I'm sure from his nipples down, Kevin Durant will be covered and not be able to do anything.
He's got long arms.
Kevin Durant from the nipples down is going to be covered better than anybody by Jay Crowder, but he's going to shoot over him.
But like, I don't understand what you want to do. Like, I mean, you think Paul George would be able to stop Kevin Durant?
I think Paul George would be able to challenge Kevin
Durant. He's the same height.
No, he's not. Jay Crowder is like short. 6'8".
He's 6'9".
6'9".
They're not the same height. They can't be. I think he's
taller.
Can we talk about Rick Pitino getting fired just so I can rehash the story of him fucking his assistant coach's wife at an Italian restaurant?
Yeah.
And he lasted,
I can search the web for that.
He lasted 15 seconds. Rick Pitino, as you know, the goat when it comes to fucking... he's 6'9". He's going to come back 6'9".
6'6". Oh,
what the fuck?
6'6".
Okay, how tall is Paul George?
He's 6'8
or 6'9". How tall is Paul George?
Paul George is 6'9" tall.
Okay. I got him.
Now, what were you saying? What were you saying?
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
So, Rick Pitino.
3 inches and you still have one of the best. Just because you didn't get the best to contend in.
I'm going to edit that clip out that you just said. I'm going to use that as the bumper.
So
Rick Pitino got fired. The goat of sleazeball college fucking coaches.
Sports, yeah.
Who has progressive funnier and funnier scandals. Because didn't they fire him last year?
Last year he got in trouble. Was it last year or the year before where they were talking about he was getting prostitutes for players?
Well, he said he had no knowledge of that. Yeah, but yes.
But yeah.
So, from my understanding, I haven't really caught kept up a whole lot with this. I've just heard it in and out. But, like, the FBI basically got involved with arresting all these coaches because these shoe it's basically like a back underground economy, mm-hmm. where they would pay these guys, but like only $100,000 when in essence they're making $1 billion for the fucking school.
What are we getting paid $100,000 to sign contracts for millions because they were going to sign with the
right, you
know, with Adidas,
who are sponsored by like certain schools. Like, I saw this thing on Real Sports a while back where, like, Adidas or Nike or Under Armour will sponsor all these AAU tournaments or whatever, and they basically give them a bunch of free shit. Mm-hmm. But, like, something...
People don't understand that these apparel companies are in, like, medieval times. Like,
they are
battling each other, like, scheming. So, if we do this, then we should, you know, align with this person and like take over this. Like, they're in medieval times right now.
Do you know how much money and influence Nike threw into the NBA to take over this deal? Like, my brother-in-law works for the Cavs, and he's like, when it was Adidas, it was like, we could kind of do what we wanted. Nike basically owns the NBA now. Like, yeah. All their branding, everything goes through Nike because they want to make sure people are buying everything. They don't
So I'm well-versed in what the NCAA is dealing with. What I don't understand is how did that lead to Rick Pitino getting fired?
Because I guess whatever in the FBI, not the deposition, their indictment on all these people, one of like the things that they have these people on tape, like Chuck Person, who I vaguely remember playing in the NBA.
Who did Chuck Pacers.
Did he play for the NBA Pacers?
Nope. Did he play for the Spurs too? I think.
I was like Chuck Person because sure like, yeah, my friend Chuck Person. But somehow within like the legal documents, it came out that one of the recruits, Louisville, promised $100,000 to one of the recruits under Adidas, and then like at the last second he changed his mind and signed somewhere else or something like that, and like they were caught on tape discussing that.
So they were using wiretaps?
Yeah, no, there was a wire.
It's the FBI.
Yeah, no, the FBI.
Like, the FBI was doing all this shit. This isn't some other school leaking it. This is
up.
Yeah.
Well, it's I don't understand. I'll be honest, man. I don't even get the big deal. College football.
Pay him.
College has been corrupt like that from jump. Like,
well, just pay him.
Wasn't even a star player, and I had sex with several women in my tours. I toured Ball State, Ohio State, and Mount Union. I don't know if y'all Mount Union. Yeah, y'all know Mount Union.
D3, but it's like the best D3 school
of all time. Yeah, it's stupid. I don't know why they just don't move them up because it's really dumb.
No, because they want to stay there. They like being.
Oh no, they absolutely don't want to be moved up. But yeah, I had several unsolicited things happen sexually to my body in those visits, and I wasn't even a star. So I get what college has been doing. My problem is, you have committed so many resources to making sure these kids don't get paid. Like, it's right, so yeah, weird. Right. Like, if you can't beat them, join them. Like, pay them and get it over with. If you pay these kids, most of your problems will go away.
Well, it's because they're greedy as fuck. You know what I mean? You can't
In their defense, I do understand the logistics of it. Like, if you, it'll be extremely hard.
Exactly. I've been very vocal about not paying these players and instead fixing it to make it how things should be.
Huh? Yeah, it's your shtick.
It'd go be very hard yourself. To pay all of the players.
I make damn good points.
But they get
they don't.
Just but, like you.
But no, here's my point. Here's my thing, though. Let them make money off of themselves. Yeah. That's my only thing. If you, college student can find a way to make money off of their name, then let them. They literally have taken the names off the back of these jerseys. Like, what's Barrett's number? Is it 16?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. If you go...
They stopped doing that.
If you go to, like, the website and try to buy a JP... You can't buy a Barrett jersey. You can buy number 16, but you can't buy a Barrett.
You used to be able to search by the name.
Like, that's so dumb. Like, you're literally going out your way to not let these kids... Let them make money off their names. Then you're removing yourself from the situation as the NCAA. You're saying, we don't pay them. They do what they want with their name, their memorabilia, their stuff. And so don't come, you know, crying to us. You know what I'm saying? We let them do what they want to do. They're stopping them from doing that.
But you could have boosters just giving them huge, enormous, whatever they want amounts of money for
right.
each thing,
which
calling
they're
it a solid transaction.
Which they're going to do.
They do that now, anyway. Ryan.
So
they
least,
do it now.
At least they finally have a way to launder it.
What do you want?
They do it
you,
now.
Do you want
so
a cap
you let
how
them
much?
So you, they're doing it anyway. So you're either going to police them and try to punish them every single time it happens, or let them do it and remove yourself from it. Like, it's happening regardless.
And also, why is anyone even trying to make their college team better right now when there's Alabama and they just keep winning?
Fucking they lost last year.
Oh, that's right. Clemson, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's why.
And Ohio State beat them in the playoffs the year before that.
Anyways, I just want to read all of the quotes where Rick Pitino was forced to testify in open court about fuck this lady in an Italian restaurant.
All right. This is his assistant coach's wife.
Yes, yes. It's his magnum opus, really, as far as this scandal. Pitino said he did not plan on having sex with Cypher, but he didn't protest. He asked if she had a condom, and he said, "I don't carry condoms." Cypher tells Pitino she is fertile. Rick testifies, quote, "She told me her husband looked at her 4 times, and she got pregnant, and I pulled out." I don't know what that means. Defense attorney asks, oh, this is like the stenography actual thing, so it could be typed with anything. Defense attorney asks, how could she have become pregnant then if he did not ejaculate? Pitino testifies, I did, down my leg. Pitino said the entire sexual encounter with Cypher, quote, took less than 15 seconds. Pitino then testifies that it is, quote, it is physically possible that he could have gotten her pregnant, but declines to go further. He said it began when she started rubbing his leg as they were sitting at the bar, and then he suggested that they go to the booth. He fucked her in an Italian restaurant, like full of people.
He busted nut in an Italian restaurant.
Well, yeah. I mean, he stuck it in her and came instantly in an Italian restaurant.
Well, that's a good song.
If you had to make a fucking caricature of a guy that would fuck a girl in an Italian restaurant booth, it'd be that slick back motherfucking Rick Pitino.
Did you see his tight jersey he wore?
Yeah.
The football jersey.
And he had a big plate of spaghetti afterwards.
I feel bad for Rick Pitino.
Fuck Rick Pitino.
Why?
Because he just cannot catch a break, man.
He's done a lot of breaks.
He's done nothing but catch breaks.
He should have never been a coach again.
All he did was try to get some players some pussy.
That's true. He is a good egg.
Get himself some pussy and get athletes to the people he worked for. Rick Pitino works for Adidas. Like, he's always wearing Adidas stuff. I don't know if it's just the school they sponsor or if Rick Pitino has a deeper relationship with Adidas, but Adidas has
their
hand.
What you want is a minor league football. You want minor league football. They should just do that. All these things, like, you gotta remember, you can't just turn these kids loose. You can't just do whatever you want. It's still associated with a fucking school. You're associating yourself with a school. You are always representing the school.
The
school is the one that puts up all that money to build that stadium and to give you the platform to do
what you're doing. Do you have to go to college to go to the D League?
There's no D League.
The NBA?
Yeah.
For NBA.
But I'm saying, do you have to go to college for that?
Yeah, for a year. You can go play overseas. You can always go play overseas for a year. But
Brandon Jennings.
In football, there isn't that. What a lot of people want is that. That would solve all the logistical issues because
people need college football because of the cachet and the recruiting. Like, they need that. They need those eyes on them. They can't.
I know, but I think it'd be really funny for it to all fall apart and they just do like a minor league football.
I don't think they would.
I know they wouldn't because there's too much money.
The NCAA wouldn't let that happen.
But I like when things fall apart. So
you're a big fan of Chinya Achebe? That was a literary reference for anybody.
Ooh.
All right, whatever.
But what did it mean?
It was a book. It was called Things Fall Apart.
I'm aware of that small, select audience.
There are at least 3 people somewhere cracking.
Hey,
up
listen,
right
it can't be gold all the fucking time, dude. Jesus Christ! I had some zingers in here.
You assume like, a lot more people listen to this than
yeah, really. It was like 70 ever.
The same 35 twice.
Yes, basically. That's all right.
Yeah, we'll build the numbers up for the Fantasy Boys.
Hell yeah, Fantasy Boys!
We've
done like an hour and like 50, almost an hour and 20. We should do fuck this guy.
Okay.
We should wrap it up here, people.
Yeah, I think so. Fuck my whole team.
Fuck your whole team. I agree.
My whole team.
Same.
Fuck
likewise.
Your whole team.
Yeah. I got destroyed. Philip Rivers is garbage.
Well, he's in playing in a soccer stadium.
You pitch Philip Rivers?
He's a good fantasy quarterback.
He can be, but now he's not. Right. Hey, he's in four interceptions or something.
He's a gunslinger who mostly is like Jake. He's like a slightly better Jay Cutler.
Yeah, but he's the more fertile version of Jay Cutler.
Mariota was playing the Seahawks, so I'm like, okay, that's gonna be a defensive game. I'm not gonna fuck with that. So I overthought it and I fucked up. Fuck Philip Rivers.
We should settle all like the racial tension in this country by like having a football game with Philip Rivers' children versus Anthony Cromartie's children.
Dang.
Who fucked you? Oh, me?
Okay.
I had a really good week. I fucked myself by starting Martavis Bryant over Stephon Diggs, who murdered.
Yeah.
I love Martavis Bryant, though.
We're fucking Kareem Hunt again.
Are you playing me this week?
Yeah.
I got my doors blown off by fucking Mary, who auto-drafted her fucking team and doubled me up.
She auto-drafted, and then she just puts in the highest projection for each position.
I know. She's going to win, too.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be Becky and Mary in the finals.
Not Becky. Becky's team is back.
Yeah. I'm completely against Randall Cobb right now.
Well, that's smart.
Let me see your team.
Randall Cobb is ruining everything. Because he's who I banked my receivers on. I really thought Randall Cobb was going to have an amazing year.
Who are your running backs that you took so high?
Le'Veon Bell and Marshawn Lynch.
But I have those exact two running backs in our fucking league. Marshawn Lynch had a bad game this weekend. But
I had David Johnson.
You're starting Kenny Britt.
I have to because Randall Cobb, I don't want to talk about it.
Wait, you're starting Kenny Britt?
Oh, I had to pick up somebody because Randall Cobb is...
Dude, you have one bench wide receiver? Pick up another wide receiver.
Randall Cobb, my starting wide receivers were Randall Cobb and Allen Robinson.
Why do you have three defenses?
You have three defenses?
Yeah, I gotta stack up on my
defense. No, you have three defenses.
No, Mike. Defense. Mike, you're complaining about wide receiver depth. How many did you draft?
Two.
Defenses.
I drafted two.
Mike, you never draft two defenses.
I always draft two defenses.
Mike, never.
Always.
Never. How many times do you won a league?
I've won two leagues before.
How many of your top defenses that you've taken have totally let you down? Isn't it often that you'll get like...
That's why I get two, though. That's what I'm saying.
But that's why you play the matchup. You find like the couple shittiest offenses, people with rookie quarterbacks, and you...
That doesn't work in a 12-person league. There's going to be 10. And your defenses clearly don't score a lot of points. Like, my defenses are amazing. Like, I'm always great on defense. 12-person
league, and there are 20 defenses to pick from every week.
What defenses do you have?
Nobody holds on to two defenses.
Minnesota, the Ravens, and I just picked up the Buccaneers.
Please tell me you started the Ravens last week.
I did not.
Hey, where are the Buccaneers?
But Minnesota was amazing too, so I did.
Where are the Buccaneers? On your bucking head.
Yeah.
All right, let's fucking.
That's not the best color man in the business for nothing.
Wham with the right hand. I'm gonna adopt Joe.
Yeah, the Ravens have been amazing. Minnesota has been amazing, and I'm just watch. Tampa's gonna come into form and be amazing also.
Didn't Gerald McCoy threaten to fight people on Twitter? I like him.
I love Gerald McCoy.
Yeah. Anyways,
Rodgers.
Oh yeah, my fucking actually no, not.
I always fall in love with the team on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, except when it was Cincinnati. My fuck that guy of the week is hard-hitting Jason Witten. He can go fuck himself.
Yeah, he fucking stunk.
You picked up Jason Witten.
But like,
you
always keep talking about you're talking. All your leagues? What about our league?
Oh, our league?
That's what I did.
Oh,
yeah, I went with our league.
Aaron Rodgers. Fuck him.
Yeah.
But I drafted three wide receivers. I drafted Larry Fitzgerald. I drafted Randall Cobb, and I drafted number one guy from Jacksonville.
You, as far as your
one is on IR, and one is anemic and can't. He's not doing anything.
You should have been targeting guys like Tarik Cohen, and I mean he's a running back, but You should have been targeting guys on the waiver wire to try and replace them. You don't keep two defenses on your bench. Your bench should be two running backs, two wide receivers, after maybe an extra tight end, maybe another wide receiver.
After I picked up my replacement wide receivers, which I picked up was Kenny Britt. That's all I picked up. So after I picked up Kenny Britt, then I was free. I had a free roster spot. So I wanted the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense because they're about to be amazing.
I always get him and Kenny Stills confused.
I will get rid of one of these defenses, but I just haven't decided which one yet. Like, I'm not going to hold on. I never not have two defenses because the week I have an amazing defense and then they play, you know, the Patriots or the Falcons, I'm going to put my other defense in.
The only time I'm not that gonna you drop should them. Have two defenses is when you have, like, a huge once in, like, a, you know, every couple years kind of defense, like the Seahawks a couple years ago, where they're actually putting up points consistently, like big points. When you have one of those and they hit a bye week or like an insane matchup. No,
You're just going to drop your defense.
No, I'm going to hold on to that one. But in any other situation, I'm going to drop that defense. Even if a defense really? Is doing good.
Yeah, nah.
And it's a bye week. I'm not holding on to them. I'm holding on to my bench.
But you have so you must be in one of those leagues where you're only allowed like four bench players. Like there's no reason. I have two backup running backs. I have two backup running backs. Two backup wide receivers. Why do I need a third anything? Like there's no reason why I can't have
strategy
a
strategy. Yeah, dude.
My strategy is to always have a scoring defense.
All right. The point is that. You know who would be a decent sleeper pick, I was thinking? That's probably available in everybody's league. David Njoku, because they're just going to use him in the tight end in the red zone for...
everything. Yeah. Well, he's also... I mean, they are throwing a lot, and that's actually because my sleeper pick actually worked out, even though he didn't have the best game. I said DeShone Kizer, and he scored like 22 points.
Yeah, he was all right. It was a good pick. I'll pick him again. Fuck Cincinnati. Anyway.
Sure, you want Njoku?
Mine was Sarah Kendrick. It was not a good pick.
No, he was not good.
Not a good pick.
Who's yours this week?
Javaris Allen is my sleeper pick.
For this week? Nah, I don't think. I was hoping he would do something, but he didn't do shit last week.
Anyways, we're at like an hour and a half now, so let's fucking
do shit. I'm going to go Charles Clay again.
Charles Clay, solid pick.
I'm going to go Willie Snead.
Is he suspended?
I was so mad I didn't pick him up. I was number two on my waiver wire, or whoever was number one picked him up. I wanted him so bad.
He's going to have a good week. He's going to be back, and he's going to be ready to do things.
Taylor Gabriel seems to be a bit available in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's still early.
All of their guys, we don't need him.
Other than, like, I picked up Mohamed Sanu in my other league. I was so surprised he was available.
Yeah, he's doing great.
Fucking former... fuck this guy segment. I picked fucking Kenny Galladay and he fucked me. So fuck
him.
I know because he's a rookie, blah blah blah. It doesn't mean that I'm not mad at him for not scoring like 3 points.
I think my best player last week was Matt Prater.
Matt Prater's great.
He is great. Anyways, follow us on Twitter at FantasyBoys with a Z Pod. Go Browns. I said go fuck yourself last weekend, but that's Bill Burr's thing. So
go Browns.
Yeah, go Browns, I guess.
Go Browns.
All right. Everybody, have a good week. And,
Poop and pee.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle. Because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino.